Hi, this is Christopher from Nagelfar, and you're listening to Metal Metal.
Metal Metal. מטאל מטאל נגלפר באים לישראל, זה קורה ב-21 לחודש במועדון הגגארין בתל אביב, וזה הולך להיות אדיר. נגלפר, להקה מעולה.
איך אתה מתלהב מספיק? נגלפר מגיעים לישראל, אחד להקות הבלק המטורפות שיש היום בכלל אי פעם אולי, במיוחד בז'אנר המיוחד שלהם של מלודיק בלק מטאל. הם נותנים בראש, ואנחנו הולכים לשמוע פה אחלה מוזיקה ולדבר
אנחנו עם... אנחנו הולכים לדבר עם הסולן קריס, ואנחנו הולכים להתחיל את התוכנית הזאת עם I Am Vengeance של נגלפר, מאלבום שאול משנת 2003. נגלפר בישראל, תוכנית מיוחדת של מטל מטל, זה מתחיל עכשיו.
Time.
metal metal and with us on the line now is Chris Olivius, lead singer and main man of Naglfar, which is one of the greatest black metal bands that are about to come to Israel to perform here, and we're really excited. So how are you doing, Chris?
Hi guys. Yeah, I'm fine. Really, really looking forward to come to Israel. You know, it's been in the making for too long, I think.
Yeah, for ages.
So yeah, so we're finally getting our asses over, and yeah, we're fucking ecstatic to come and play for you guys. So yeah,
we've been waiting for a long time to watch Naglfar in Israel. Is there any specific reason you didn't come until now, or something that you don't want to talk about, or something like that?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think it's been made. I mean, basically, it's been an organizing thing, you know, and it's been, I guess, lots of people have been talking about the reasons why it should have been or why we never came. But from my point of view, I would say that it's been mainly talk and speculations, because that's not true at all. We just wanted to make sure that it was something that was serious and something that was well organized. And when we got in touch with Yishai a couple of years ago, we thought that probably he's our guy, and so it seems. So he finally, arranged and organized everything in a very, very good and professional way. So now we're coming to play.
Yeah, Ishai brought many, many, many metal bands in the last decade and even to Israel. So you don't need to worry about that. We waited since like 1995 to see you guys here, so we're really excited. And we're going to start with asking a little bit questions that you maybe had before, but our audience probably never heard it. So first of all, about the name of the band. It's kind of funny, because if you read about it in the internet, Naglfar is a boat made out of the nails and toenails of the dead. How a band come to choose such a name for a band, and why did you had anything to do with the Norse mythology in your lyrics or ideas or what?
Yeah, I would say that it has everything to do with the Northern mythology and our heritage as Scandinavians. And as you said, that I mean, it's correct that the name derives from the Edda scriptures and everything that you described about the name, that that it's a ship that is constantly built in hell according to our forefathers' beliefs, which is in a way gonna unleash the end of the world. And that has been the main topic of the band since the start. You know, when I came up with this the name for the band, I was 15 years old, and it felt like a very good and powerful name at that time. I mean, I think that was the main reason why we chose to go with this name, because it was something that had to do with the Scandinavian, and something that really fits our style of music. But then again, we never imagined for ourselves that we would become an internationally known band. I mean, it was very different times, and this kind of extreme music was not something that, I mean, it barely existed when we started out. If I would start a band today, maybe I would go with an English themed name, but that's not how it worked out. And I guess, you know, now we have been around for 22 years with Naglfar, and we're going to stick with the name of our band. I think in a way it also makes us stand out, even though it's kind of hard for people to pronounce it at first. But
for a black metal band, it's okay that it's hard to pronounce. It's okay. It makes sense. It's hard to read the fonts, it's hard to pronounce. It's good. Next thing we wanted to know is when Naglfar began back in 1992, there were many black metal bands maybe, but this specific type of music that you make, what can you tell us about the bands that were doing this specific kind, melodic black metal, in your area or in the world when you started? Who influenced your band and the beginning of creating Naglfar?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but you know,
when we started out, there were not really this kind of bands that had already released albums. We were friends with some guys from the southern part of Sweden that were playing similar kind of styled music, and was the guys in the band Dissection. But I wouldn't say that they really influenced us, because I think at least in the beginning we were more influenced by the new wave of British heavy metal, and specifically a band like Iron Maiden. But then, of course, we also wanted to do it in a more sinister style. You know, you cannot be like such a band. I mean, it's for us, it was never our intention to copy anybody else when we started out, but to draw influences from bands like Candlemass and Iron Maiden.
Well, that also can be seen,
and also Bathory, I would say, and to fuse it together to do something for ourselves. And I mean, we've always tried to do our best, and when we did the songs for our first album, Vitra, you know, we were maybe 16, 17 years old, and I mean, we really, really tried our best. And I think as an artist, you constantly evolve. So I wouldn't say that I look back at those songs as bad or anything like that, but I think for us it has always been about to try to never leave this formula, but then again to constantly evolve within ourselves as a group.
We can for sure see some kind of involvement in with every record that that Naglfar puts out, but we really like also the beginning of Naglfar, which was really special and melodic since the beginning, which is something that sometimes in bands that started in the late 80s or in the beginning of the 90s, sometimes it's too for us too raw, but in Naglfar we could always find something very, very listenable and very very, I don't know if to say catchy, but very melodic, and even in the first album in Vitra, which we're gonna listen to a song out of it right now, there is a song called Enslaved, the Astral Fortress, which we really like. Anything to say about that song?
I mean, it's hard for me to say anything else, but I think it's a great track, and it amazes me that it was something that Andreas, me and Jens wrote when we were that young. And I think it's, as you said, it's a catchy fucking track, you know, but at the same time, it harbors some kind of mystical vibe, so enjoy.
Great, so Enslaved, the Astro Fortress from the first album of Naglfar, Vitra, it goes like this.
Yes, God!
Oh-ho! Amazing. So that was Enslaved Astro Fortress from the first album of Naglfar, and we're speaking with the singer of this amazing band, Christopher, which is with us on the line. So we continue with the tales of Naglfar in the beginning, and we wanted to know, you formed this band with Jens Reiden, which was the singer and also was on guitars in the beginning, and you were a bass player, and then you made a shift after almost a decade to be the singer. So that's something that is not very common in bands, a bass player turning to be a singer. How was that for you, and making this shift to be the main man and not a little in the back, but right in the front of a band which you used to be a bass player for?
It wasn't very easy, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do from the start, but I felt that I really had no choice but to take up the microphone for myself. I was always doing background vocals and singing together with Jens on the previous albums. And I had also been involved with another Swedish, more typical Swedish style black metal band called Cetereal. Mm-hmm. And I did the vocals for two of their albums, Hell Eternal and another one called End Time Divine. So I was already, you know, used to doing vocals in the studio and quite secure of myself as a vocalist. I had also been doing vocals with my and Marcus' other band, Bewitched. The greatest transition was really to leave the bass guitar behind, because I always had a vision for Naglfar that we should be a band with a singer who doesn't play the instrument, because I personally prefer it that way. I think it looks way more cool, you know.
Way that it physically is on stage, that a person is just dealing with singing and not with playing while he's singing. That's what you mean?
Yeah.
When we prepared ourselves for this interview, we watched some of your videos in which you look quite scary, I might say. How much the dealing with black metal or your band affecting you in your real life?
Very much. I would say I live and breathe black metal, and I've been doing it for 22 years. But of course, there's always another side to everybody. You know, it's not like I'm walking around all painted out and wearing spikes and leather all the time. I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm a working husband, father. But then there's the other side of me, which constantly calls from inside. And for me, it has been like I've been possessed since I was a child, because I've always had the feeling that I should do something like this. And many times it has been quite reluctant for me, because sometimes I really wanted to do other things. But it seems like it's always drawing me back, you know, and it seems like it has a deeper purpose. Anyway, the way I like to see it. Before I walk on stage, I just let something else take control of me, and then we do the shows. You know, it's more like I am a vessel than that I'm actually myself. That's why it's quite hard sometimes to speak about live performances for me, because I'm not really there, even though I'm there. You know,
it's like some kind of a trance.
Yeah, I would say.
So when you but when you come back home after a real heavy black metal performance, which you have spat all these words of evil, and you come back to real life, how do you take this all off of you?
I never take it off. You know, it's like it's more like switching a button. Mm-hmm. I would say.
So that's interesting. We always wondered that about any kind of black metal band, because sometimes these things, when you see it on stage, you wonder like how this guy is in, like when he's not on stage.
It's,
you know?
Not just that. It's also you can see in Norwegian black metal bands, sometimes the character of being a black metal musician you can see how it's really relate there to their real life, like they kill people
or they burn churches, or they do all these things which we, you see mostly in Norway more than in other places. So yeah, but yeah, okay, I think this is actually a really good time to listen to one of the songs that you already are singing in. And that's from the first album which you fronted as a singer, which is called Pariah from 2005, which we just love this album. And we're going to listen to one of our favorite songs in this album called The Swarm of Plagues. Anything to say about that song?
Oh, it's one of my favorite songs also. It was Andreas, actually, one of my best childhood friends who wrote the lyrics for A Swarm of Plagues. And I mean, one of the things with Naglfar, I think that we never, you know, try to write cryptic lyrics or something like that. It's quite straightforward what it's all about. And it's about the end of the human era and the end of the human race, in a way. And with singing about a topic like this, we don't mean it like some kind of something that's coming. It's more like it's something that happens to everyone within every lifetime, within every generation. That's how we like to look upon being a human being, you know. In a way, we're all so, we have so much in common, you know. And yeah, that's The Swarm of Plagues.
All right, so Swarm of Plagues from Pariah of Naglfar. Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
really, really, really good song by Nagelfar. And we're continuing this special with Chris from Nagelfar. And we wanted to know a little bit about the differences between the way that black metal is perceived. It's sometimes very hard to make an adjustment to, let's say, today's way of trending music. And things have changed throughout the years. You had the change from cassettes to CDs to MP3 to digital to everything. And then now you can see that a lot of bands, if you want to really succeed, you need to sit down and have a really viral video on YouTube,
Facebook
page, and all these things. And we wondered, as a band that is 100% talented and is all about the music, do you get to deal with those things as well as a band, to have a sit downs and to think of how to do a YouTube video and stuff like that, because that's how people are doing these days?
No, not anymore, I would say. You know, we came to a point a couple of years ago when we decided that we're not going to go hunt for fame anymore. Mm-hmm. The main reason for us to stay together is actually for the friendship, you know, within the band. And yeah, because we're childhood friends, and yeah, everybody's moving on with their lives. And but we have something that glues us together, and this is our band in a way. And I think, at least from my point of view, that people are getting more and more theatrical and more visual in a way. We were always a very visual band on stage, but nowadays I think it has gone overboard a bit, because it's more like a freak show. I would say, at least when I get to see some bands, I don't really go and listen to other bands that much anymore, anyhow, because it just doesn't interest me in that way. So I think it's quite sad in a way, because so many of these bands, they tend to look the same. You know, it becomes more or less like a costume when mm-hmm. it is something that really should... I mean, it has to do with the soul and the heart. And I mean, if you are a hard rocker, as I like to see it, it doesn't have to do with how you look. It has to do with what you like and what you listen to, and your dedication towards the music. So I mean, that's the reason why we haven't been very active doing videos and stuff like that. Our record company have been nagging us quite a bit that we should promote ourselves more in this visual way, but I'm sure that we're gonna do some more music videos, but maybe we're gonna try something else, because from my point of view, it tends to all look the same, and that was never the meaning with our kind of music, you know.
Yeah.
Do you guys work on new music these days?
Yeah, we do. Even though it's going slow, because we've been doing other things, getting children and having companies and stuff like that. So unfortunately, it hasn't been our main focus. But on the other hand, I think it's very important for us not to be a band that constantly releases albums just to tour, because we don't do that anymore. We try to concentrate on doing really good music for ourselves, and to try to do really, really good live shows whenever we do them.
What you mentioned before about having a family and children and everything, so beside listening to children's music with your kids, do you have any time to actually sit down and listen to music yourself?
Of course. I mean, I have all the time in the world to do whatever I want, but it's weird, because it seems like the older you get, the more narrow-minded you get in a way, and more nostalgic in a way. It feels like I'm constantly coming back to the same albums, I'm still listening to the you know, the Mysterious Doom Satanas and the Nocturnal Silence from Necrophobic and maybe the Thumberlane from Dissection and the old Iron Maiden albums. I mean, that's the kind of music that I'm listening to, and in a way, it makes me quite a boring person. But of course, you're always a child of your own age, if you know what I mean.
I don't think it's boring. I think it's very good that you have these, you know, that shelf in your house that has these unique CDs that you can always say these are the best CDs ever. Nothing can change that. And it's quite confusing for a metalhead that has like 100 CDs coming out every month. It's very hard to follow everything, and it's hard, it's really hard for us in a radio station that listen to very, very different types of metal, even point a genre that we basically love the most. The fact that you have that in your head very clear, I envy you. I really envy you.
Yeah, you know, it's just how it is.
Okay, so we spoke about all the more catchy stuff that it could be viral, and maybe Naglfar is not actually doing that, but one of your I think best hits, which went more viral, and also it is just a very good single, is from Harvest of 2007, the song The Darkest Road, which we really really like. It's just a very very catchy good song. So anything you want to say about that song before we put it in?
It's a very, very special song to me. I mean, of course, all these songs are special, but that one is a very special song because it was not really intended to be on the Harvest album, because we always do pre-productions of our albums, so we record them once and then we re-record them again. And when we went to the studio to do this, we went out to the woods, here up in the northern parts of Sweden, and it was winter, and when we came to the studio, the hard drive that we were going to use for the recording had a malfunction.
Oh no.
So we couldn't do anything for until the next day, and it was only me and Marcus there in this old house. So the thing that we did, we said, okay, let's just sit down and play some guitar. And 20 minutes later, The Darkest Road was ready, you know, and I had already written the lyrics to it, and then we recorded it. And that's the version that you're hearing on the album. So it's a very special song. I think it's magical in a way, because it just came to us out of nowhere. So yeah, it's interesting.
So it just came from the woods.
Yeah.
Amazing. Very black metal. So we'll listen to The Darkest Road by Naglfar from Harvest of 2007. Hey, we're back. We just listened. Hey, where's the clapping?
Not every time?
No, no, clap.
Yay! Yay!
Woo! Okay, woo! So we've listened to The Darkest Road by Naglfar, and we're still with us on the line with the main man, Chris. We'll just say before we continue that the show itself is going to be in the 21st of May in the Gagarin in Tel Aviv, and there's only 250 spots, so if you didn't buy a ticket yet, I think it's a good time to do so. And yeah, so what are you listening to these days?
In a way, you know, I'm still, you know, I have to go back to being that boring guy who still listens to that old stuff. But I actually hooked up quite an awesome album last year because I was doing vocals for the Swedish band Necrophobic from Stockholm.
Oh yeah, we love
amazing, amazing band.
And I really, really enjoyed their latest output, The Womb of Lilithuith.
Oh, yeah,
album.
Yeah, we
love the best.
It's a fucking amazing album, and I like that kind of style very, very much. So, yeah, that's actually one of the newer things.
Yeah, yeah, we have this somewhat of a radio ceremony that we do for metal every year, and we gave them the best black metal of that year, which that was an amazing album. When you were touring, and you probably saw some other bands which were touring with you or on the same festivals and such, did you see any band that you thought like that's very, very good? Not even black metal, just anything else.
That's very, very hard for me to say, you know.
Yeah.
I really used to enjoy Dark Funeral. We did quite a lot of touring with them back in the days. I always enjoyed Marduk Live. I think they're a very good band, at least, you know, when it comes to the style of music that we share. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't say that I'm too impressed, you know. It's It was never my thing. I'm not really a fanboy in that way. Maybe I'm not listening enough to music, you know. Maybe I should really start doing that when I'm on festivals and stuff like that. But many times I'm quite drained and tired after the show. And but yeah, I guess I'm getting old in a way, you know.
No, don't say that. Come on, we're looking forward for another record, or two, or four, or five, or something. Anyways,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, I can promise you, it's definitely going to be another record, and two, and three. You know,
great.
There's no plan to put the band down. It's just we just want to do it slow in our own way because it's. That's the way that we're going to remain.
Well, it took 5 years for you to release Terras, so we're looking forward for a little less than that for the next one. But we're going to listen to a song from that album, from Terras, which is your latest album from 2012. And that's a very, very good album. We'll probably listen to one of the songs that... you guys are actually playing usually. Well, you know what? I'll let you choose between Pale Horse and Bring Out Your Dead. Well, what do you think would be a better
one? I definitely choose Pale Horse.
We'll just say thank you very much for being with us in Metal Metal. We're looking forward to see you here in Israel. And
thank you guys so much. I mean, for me, it's a dream come true to be able to come to Israel. And I really hope there's not going to be any problems or anything with us entering the country, because I mean, it means the world for us to come and play for you guys. Because you know, at the end of the day, this is what we do, and this is what unites us. Because we're hard rockers, and we're listening to this kind of music, and. We know something that the people that are not into our kind of music, things that they don't know.
And they don't understand.
It really unites us, you know?
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Yeah. So, brother of metal, we'll see you here in Israel. Looking forward to see you, and we're going to end this with Pale Horse by Naglfar. Thank you very much, Christopher, for being with us.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters.
Come on. הגיע הזמן לשחוט עם אבשלום קוף.
העיניים שלי הן המראות המשקפות את המוות שלך. בוז, אני מביע בכל נשימה. אני בז לך. בוא גלה את עצמך מולי, הפנים שלי הן הדבר האחרון שתראה אי פעם. אני בז לך, או כמה אני מתעב אותך. אל תפנה אליי, אתה לא רואה, אתה לא שווה אבק עבורי. אל תפנה אליי, עזוב אותי, אתה מגעיל אותי. כך מתארים חברי להקת ציפורניים שנאספו מהמתים על מנת לבנות ספינה, הלו הם נגלפר, את חיבתם ואהבתם לזולת. בשיר אהבה, שכולו שלום ואחווה, הנקרא Spoken Words of Venom, הלו הוא דיבור נגוע. ומבלי לבזבז עוד זמן, ניגש לשמוע את אותו דיבור נגוע של נגלפר.
Let's go.
והשיר הטוב ביותר בעולם לשבוע הזה, שגם איתו אנחנו נסיים את התוכנית הנהדרת הזאת על נגלפר של מטל מטל, שבה שיתפנו גם את סולן נגלפר בכבודו בעצמו, קריס האדיר.
מה זה שיתפנו? בן אדם הוא חלק מהתוכנית.
האמת שאנחנו באמת רצינו לספר לכם שהוא נהפך לחבר פאנל קבוע, וכל תוכנית הוא הולך להיות איתנו כאן, מטל מטל.
מעכשיו, קריס נגלפר פלג הוא חבר בצוות של מטל מטל.
יפה, ואנחנו מסיימים את התוכנית הזאת עם השיר הטוב ביותר בעולם, שהוא כנראה באמת השיר הטוב ביותר בעולם בכלל אי פעם לשבוע זה, וזה השיר שנקרא The Perpetual Horrors של נגלפר, שיר מעולה מאלבום פריה משנת 2005, האלבום הראשון שבו קריס הפך בעצם לסולן, קודם כל הוא היה הבסיסט כאמור, ואנחנו שמים השיר הזה בעצם את התוכנית הזאת של מטל מטל.
www.metalmetal.co.il וגם ב-106.2 FM במרכז הרדיו הבינתחומי. חבר'ה, להיכנס, להגיב, אהבתם את התוכנית, תכתבו, אהבתי את התוכנית, לא קשה, ולא לכתוב לנו את זה בפרטי, כי למרות שזה מאוד מאוד, אנחנו מעריכים את זה, אנחנו רוצים שגם אלה שלא שמעו את התוכנית, יעריכו את זה.
לא אהבתם את התוכנית, לכתוב, אהבתי את התוכנית.
בפרטי.
לא, לא, גם את זה, לא בפרטי, לכתוב, אהבתי את התוכנית.
אהבתי את התוכנית, לכתוב בכל מקרה. חבר'ה, תודה שהייתם איתנו באמת על מטל, להתראות בשבוע הבא.
ויאללה, נראה אתכם בנגלפר.
ובנגלפר, 21 למאי, זה עוד מעט.